She hadn't scared it away. It was afraid of people and houses. Jessie had been right about that. But she had underestimated its desperate condition. Its former name, Prince, was hideously ironic now. It had encountered a great many garbage bins just like the Burlingames in its long, starving circuit of Kashwakamuck Lake this fall, and it had quickly dismissed the smell of salami, cheese, and olive oil coming from this one. The aroma was tantalizing, but bitter experience had taught the former Prince that the source of it was beyond its reach. There were other smells, however. The dog got a whiff of them each time the wind lazed the back door open. These smells were fainter than the ones coming from the box, and their source was inside the house, but they were too good to ignore. The dog knew it would probably be driven off by shouting masters who chased and kicked with their strange, hard feet, but the smells were stronger than its fear. One thing might have countered its terrible hunger, but it as yet knew nothing of guns. That would change if it lived until deer season, but that was still 2 weeks away, and the shouting masters with their hard, hurtful feet were the worst thing it could imagine for now. It slipped through the door when the wind opened it and trotted into the entryway, but not too far. It was ready to beat a hasty retreat the instant danger threatened. Its ears told it that the inhabitant of this house was a bitch master, and she was clearly aware of the dog because she had shouted at it. But what the stray heard in the bitchmaster's raised voice was fear, not anger. After its initial backward jerk of fright, the dog stood its ground. It waited for some other master to join its cries to those of the bitchmaster or to come running, and when this didn't happen, the dog stretched its neck forward, sniffing at the slightly stale air of the house. At first it turned to the right, in the direction of the kitchen. It was from this direction that the puffs of scent dispersed by the flapping door had come. The smells were dry but pleasant. Peanut butter, rye crisp crackers, raisins, cereal. This latter smell was drifting from a box of Special K in one of the cupboards. A hungry field mouse had gnawed a hole in the bottom of the box. The dog took a step in that direction, then swung its head back the other way to make sure no master was creeping up on it. Masters most frequently shouted, but they could be sly, too. There was no one in the hallway leading down to the left, but the dog caught a much stronger scent coming from that direction, one that caused its stomach to cramp with terrible longing. The dog stared down the hall, its eyes sparkling with a mad mixture of fear and desire, its snout wrinkled backward like a rumpled throw rug, its long upper lip rising and falling in a nervous, spasmodic sneer that revealed its teeth in small white winks. A stream of anxious urine squirted from it and pattered on the floor, marking the front hall and thus the whole house as the dog's territory. This sound was too small and too brief for even Jessie's straining ears to catch. What it smelled was blood. The scent was both strong and wrong. In the end, the dog's extreme hunger tipped the scales. It must eat soon or die. The former prince began to walk slowly down the hall toward the bedroom. The smell grew stronger as it went. It was blood, all right, but it was the wrong blood. It was the blood of a master. Nevertheless, that smell, one far too rich and compelling to deny, had gotten into its small, desperate brain. The dog kept walking, and as it neared the bedroom door, it began to growl.